Howdy, and welcome to the Where to Hunt podcast, the podcast that connects public land hunting enthusiasts. Today's April 9th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric Clark, and you've made it back to another episode. Tried some really fun things out on today's show. Really happy to have the guest on that we did this week, Dave with Tag and Brag. They're a YouTube channel, started as an app, shifted gears, and they have some apparel and just a really great group of dudes that let their personality carry the day. And then everything else beyond that is a bonus. So Dave and I kind of shoot the breeze about their brand, what they're all about, where they're from, if they hunt public land. We get Dave's most memorable hunt at the end if you're willing to hang around that long. And I highly encourage you do so you can hear about the Godfather Buck out of New York. We also take some calls from around the country. People called in and actually did some turkey calls. So we talked about, you know, what it's like to get into turkey hunting. I have not gotten into it. I bought some tags, never had the opportunity, and did it as a side set of like deer hunting. But Dave's pretty new to it too. And he admittedly had stated like, look, I'm in the hunting community and I'm this personality and I do these YouTube shows, but I don't know how to call turkeys that great, which is awesome. I love the transparency and the honesty. And I think we need more of that. That being said, a couple of guys did call in and do some turkey calls with a diaphragm call and then without any tools or equipment at all. So it was pretty fun to listen to. Anyway, I'll bring him on right now, and it'd mean a whole bunch to me if you could review the podcast on iTunes, give us a review and a rating. It means so much to me. Don't have any sponsors, although tonight we did have our first test pilot sponsor, Common Hunter, which is if you're looking for some great products for a really, really, really great price, I highly recommend heading over to their website. And if you enter in the code, WHERE2HUNT, you're going to get yourself 15% off of some of their products. So that being said, let's go ahead and bring our guest on. A couple call outs real quick. So with us on the show today, we have Dave Girizzo, Girizzo. And
you got it.
Yes, I didn't fuck it up. a quick call out before we introduce Dave. In the upper left-hand corner, if you're watching the live stuff, you're going to notice the Common Hunter logo. If you go to commonhunter.com and you type in the code WHERE2HUNT, you get 15% off. I get zero kickbacks. This is just me trying to help out a brand that I believe in. They were on the show a couple months back, and they offer some great products for us Common Hunters. So check that out. That being said, Dave, let's get you introduced to the audience, man. Where are you from?
My name's Dave Girizzo. I have an online web show called Tag and Brag that my brother Dean and I co-host. And originally from Cleveland, Ohio, actually still from Cleveland, Ohio. But we do a lot of hunting up in Western New York, and fortunate enough now to kind of grow our business to the point where we get to travel around and hunt and stuff. And life is good, I guess.
That's good to hear. And you guys, are you primarily hunting public land or?
You know what? We grew up hunting private land, and we're just kind of getting into more and more public land. We spent a little bit of time hunting public land. We were unsuccessful this past fall, I should say, but we were going to do more of it for turkey season. And I mean, it's kind of a bucket list thing now, because like I said, we've grown up hunting private land so much, and you know, had the opportunities to plant food plots and manage deer and manage the land and in general, and just, I don't know, want a different challenge, want a little bit of a different flavor. So we've checked out quite a few pieces of public land over the last month and a half to 2 months, just kind of preparing for the fall and kind of getting ready for turkey season and stuff. So looking forward to that challenge for sure.
Dude, that's awesome.
I mean, it's kind of a bucket list thing.
Got too much audio gone over here. Jesus Christ. Okay, technical difficulties are done. Let's talk about your brand for a second, because we got to chat for a little bit on the phone earlier today, and you had a similar start to where I came from, and I wanted to have you kind of just shout that out there a little bit and kind of tell people where you came from with this.
Yeah, so Tag and Brag Tag and Brag originated as an idea to create like a Facebook for the outdoors. So to basically give other people an opportunity to share what they've done in hunting and fishing. And it all started with like picture sharing and went into more video sharing. We created a phone app And so that was kind of the main vision, because my brother Dean and I always wanted a way to like showcase our own outdoor lifestyle and be able to show people what we did and how we enjoyed hunting and fishing, and knew we didn't have the money to like get on TV and stuff like that. So we wanted to create a place for everybody else to do the same thing. In the midst of all that, we had created a YouTube channel and started making videos, and that kind of propelled the brand as we were developing the website and the phone app side of things. And so it really like jump-started us, and kind of our personalities took over as Tag and Brag. And we honestly, it was a long roller coaster of a few years of development and really burning a lot of cash, quite honestly, and realizing that our true passion was bringing people into our lives and allowing them to see what we did as hunters and really just as human beings, essentially. So our path has evolved so much along the way, which is pretty cool, because if you would have asked me 5 years ago where we would have been today, I don't know that I could have even kind of scripted it. But now, you know, we have a web show on YouTube, on Facebook. Our social media is really where we spend most of our time and trying to interact with our following and our audience. And honestly, the internet has given us the opportunity to basically make a name for ourselves, which is pretty cool.
Super cool, man. So you guys just start having fun, and out of that fun has come some really cool things.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we knew kind of going into the video side of things that we were never going to shoot as many big bucks as like Lee and Tiffany, the Drurys, and we were never going to outproduce Heartland Bow Hunters. So we had to find our niche. And we felt like, I mean, we've been filming stuff. We would go on like snowboarding trips with our cousins, and we just always have had a camera in our hands since a young age and never really done anything with it, but we always cracked ourselves up when we were on camera and stuff. So we felt like we could make our niche basically our personalities and just be relatable to people, but also not be scared to show our true colors and kind of go outside the box, outside of what is the norm of like outdoor television and web shows and stuff like that. So that is kind of how Tag and Brag evolved. And then once we got into like YouTube and Facebook and that whole swing of things, then we knew we had control of like creating our own content. And we're self-taught editing. So we literally from scratch were on YouTube, videos, books, whatever research we needed to do to teach ourselves how to edit. So the cool part is from like a production side, we control everything in-house. And I think that's why people gravitate to it as well, because it's like 100% authentically us. We film it, we lay down the footage, we're in front of the camera, and we edit everything. So it's like our flavor. And we didn't learn from like a cookie cutter type program. We kind of taught ourselves and have our own different style. So it's really evolved into that now. And now we have like a, what we call a vlog, where we just try and literally produce as much content as possible and try and outproduce everyone else from like the amount of content that we have, essentially. And it's propelled us to where we are at right now, at least over the past couple of years.
That's cool to hear. I mean, there's a lot of people trying to get into that stuff and all for different reasons. And I think, you know, I've had this topic discussed on the show in the past about, you know, creating an outdoor brand or starting and to do filming your own hunts. I've had Sam Uvel on to talk about that. I had the You Betcha guy on. He's the dude that, you know, has all the Bush Light shirts, yep, and all that stuff. And, yep, you know, it sounds like your why has just been, it's something that you've always done. And through that, you guys have let your personalities come through, which is, you know, you guys have been, I've been seeing you for a super long time. So when I messaged you, I was like, dude, how have we not done this yet?
I know.
Our brands have crossed paths at some point in time or another, and I've been commenting on your stuff, and, you know, I love it, and it stands out. And that being said, you know, do you think that some of the filming stuff that you've been doing has made it more fun for you for, like, getting out and hunting and all that stuff?
Yeah, you know, I think it's created a whole different aspect, because I don't know, I feel like my type of personality, like I'm part of the reason I was put on this earth was to be a storyteller. The more that I've kind of gotten into all this and stuff. And so to be able to tell or show people like our story over time with the camera, I'm extremely passionate about that. And so it has added a completely different element to the sport. I mean, anymore, you know, we don't go into the woods anymore without a camera. It just doesn't happen. Like if we're not going to document it, we're not going to go. I mean, even a simple shed hunt or something, everything gets documented. So it's added more to it. And it's certainly added more fun to it. It's added more stress to it as well, just because like when we're filming, I don't know, like, but I've filmed for outdoor TV shows in the past, and there's so much that gets filmed, and then there's so much that doesn't get ever seen, and it like boggles my mind. I'm like, I don't know. Part of me is just like, I can't live with that. So a lot of what you see with like our stuff and our videos is what we filmed, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a kill. It doesn't necessarily have to be an exciting hunt, but more oftentimes than not, we try and make it at least somewhat entertaining, or it just turns out to be entertaining because we're just kind of being who we are. It's definitely added a whole different aspect of things. And like I said, at this point anymore, I couldn't imagine going into the woods without a camera.
Yeah, you guys have done a good job of making it your own flavor and filling those voids of the quote unquote kill, which, you know, I think everyone thinks that that's what they want to see. But when you have the kind of personality that you guys bring to the table in that sense, it does more than just fill in the void, so to speak. It becomes the thing that you're looking to see when I'm watching you guys. Like, I love it when you guys are on the camera doing your thing, being yourselves. That is the show. And then the other stuff is the bonus, you know, because then it's cool to see you guys in that light too.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that because, you know, I mean, we film, you know, it's a 365 day a year thing for us at this point. Like last year, I think we put out like 155 vlogs. So, I mean, there's a good, you know, whatever, a third of the year, almost half the year daily that we're producing content and putting out vlogs and stuff. And I think people get caught up in like the storyline, you know, they watch us plant the food plots. They watch us go through like the dog days of summer where, you know, we're busting our butts just trying to prepare for the fall. And then when that success does actually happen, it like this past year, Dean and I both shot two bucks up in New York one day after another. And the outpour of just like interaction and stuff that we saw on Facebook, on YouTube was intense. Like literally, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was, and I think that's kind of a testament to just kind of bringing people along for the journey. You know, there's a lot of people that are hardcore followers now, and they like, and it's extremely humbling to me. I appreciate every single one. If anybody knows, you message us, you comment, like we literally answer every single thing, because without those people, we wouldn't be here right now. You know, we wouldn't be here. So I greatly appreciate every single person that watches us and gives us this opportunity. And so I think bringing them along the journey, like all of a sudden, like we're successful, and it's almost like they're successful too, because they've been along for the ride. And that really, to me, like, I don't know, that hits home. That like more than shooting a big deer, more than killing a turkey, whatever, like that part of it, to be able to make an impact with people and make them feel like they're with you in a sense, and hopefully they got some joy or entertainment out of what you're doing, like that's what hits home to me the most, for sure.
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah, I'm just browsing through your YouTube page here on the live portion of this, and your New York, the Godfather buck. You had a ton of reach on that one, and dude, like, and like you said, all these comments coming in. Someone said, I've watched this video 10 times. Dude, to get one person to watch something 10 times, you know, like, I doubt people listen to like 10 minutes of my podcast. That's super cool. I watched it too, by the way. So, man.
Well, and the video is like 24 minutes long, because we just, I mean, the story is just so nuts. It's so nuts. You couldn't have scripted it. You just really couldn't have. And I mean, it always seems to happen that way, but The way it all worked out and the emotions that were within that day, like, I went from insanely happy to a wreck to just concerned, questioned everything, on cloud nine, because we finally found him, and it was intense. And I guess that's, from that standpoint, like, that's what I'm extremely proud of, is being able to capture all those emotions and and people feeling it too. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell by a lot of the comments and stuff like that, that people really, like, they felt it. They felt like they were with you, or with us. From that perspective, like, I'm extremely proud of that, even more than the success of the hunt, because that's why we all do it. You know what I mean? Those emotions, the people that don't hunt and don't have an experience that, don't truly understand. But those emotions and that roller coaster, there's nothing else. I don't know. I've never done anything or experienced anything else quite like it. So to be able to relay that, you know, through our videos is extremely, I'm extremely proud of that.
Yeah. You guys have done just a bang up job on that. I think it's freaking awesome. So we'll come back to that in a sense towards the end, because that might be part of the question that we're going to ask later on. But let's switch gears and talk about, I asked you, like, you know, what's it like having the cameras in the woods and things like that, and how has that, you know, affected your experience and whatnot. But when we were chatting earlier today, we were talking about turkey hunting, and I haven't gone out turkey hunting yet. I've purchased tags in the past when I was deer hunting, figuring like, man, I always see these things when I'm deer hunting, and the one freaking year I get tags for deer hunting, of course I didn't see them that year. But you know, I've just never, I think people that have listened to the show know that I don't, not that I don't care to, I would love to, I just haven't done it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, whatever. That being said, you know, it sounds like you're pretty new to it yourself, but let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, no, we are. I mean, Dean and I probably started turkey hunting maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. And it was funny, our first successful turkey hunt, we shot birds within like 8 to 10 seconds of each other. And it was pretty much pure luck. I still am not a good turkey caller. Like the diaphragm mouth calls, I suck. Like I'll be completely honest. I suck. I can't find one that fits good in my mouth. I can't even figure out really how to like blow into the thing to make it sound like a turkey. So, I mean, I'll use like box calls or slate calls, and I can, you know, sometimes get them to sound good. I mean, I've called turkeys in and we've shot them before, so I guess it's all right. But I don't know. I'm still a novice to like the actual calling aspect of things. But yeah, we're relatively still, I mean, we're still green as far as turkey hunters go. And it's crazy to kind of say that, because I've been hunting for I'm 31 years old. I've been hunting for probably 25 years. And to say that we're kind of still green at turkey hunting, and now that we're like making a living, or, you know, part of a living at least off of our hunting show, is just a weird thing to say, I guess.
Well, that's how I feel too about the podcasting stuff and whatnot. But look, real quick, time out. I'm just going to take a second to call out some of the people commenting here. We got a bunch of people. Sure. Jonathan Wilson, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Wade Michael. I don't know what a Timber Pepsi is. Is that, do you know what that is, dude?
A Timber Pepsi?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what that is. I'm going to guess that.
I'm drinking some Scotch.
Bush Light or something.
Well, I do love the Bush Light. East Coast Bow Hunter is here. I'm assuming that's D-Rock or one of the guys over there, Travis or something. They had asked, and Derek Garl, what's up? East Coast Bow Hunters asked what you use for recording equipment. We don't got to spend a lot of time there. We'll get back to the subject matter, but I want to just address the comments real quick.
Yeah, no, honestly, we have an array of different cameras. We've got a couple different like main cameras that we use. We use a Canon XA30, and then we have a Sony AX100. But our vlog camera is a Sony A7S, and a lot of times we're just holding that thing up like facing it opposite way towards us and talking to the camera. I mean, it's kind of awkward at first, but you got to get comfortable with it. And that's part of how we just kind of show our personalities, because It's just basically like, let me take this camera for a walk and talk to it a little bit. And it takes, like I said, it takes some getting used to, but yeah, that's kind of our flavor of our show.
Cool, man. Good to hear. One other thing, well, we got everyone kind of tuning in here. Don't be afraid or shy to call in. The number is right on the screen in big, bold letters. And if you know how to use a turkey call, we'd love to have you call in and do some turkey calls over the phone. I think that could be a ton of fun. Give Dave some lessons here.
Teach me. Teach me.
Anyway, back to the kind of where you're going with everything. I got a cat here just meowing up a storm. So sorry, everybody, about that. Man, chaos. Just chaos. I'll let you get back to it, bud. Sorry.
What were you talking about? Turkey hunting?
Yeah, so you were talking about, like, shit. What were you talking about? I derailed too much.
All right. So let me, okay. Obviously, we're still green into the turkey hunting side of things, but our Dean and I's first turkey kill came on Mother's Day, probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And I was living in Nashville at the time. I drove back just to hunt for the weekend because we were just getting into turkey hunting. We thought we were like all cool and shit. And Dean had like, I think he had like either missed one or came close or something like a few times that previous week hunting by himself. He's like, dude, I need a cameraman. And like, you know, we need to be together, you know, in order to get this done. We just need to kill one of these things, whatever. So we get set up. We're up against this huge tree. And Dean kind of had an idea where these turkeys were roosting, and then they would walk like parallel to this huge ravine, and there was only like one spot to cross, and they would literally walk right through he saw them walking like right through the water a couple days in a row. So we set up like kind of basically right before that crossing, and sure enough, like, I don't know, we were probably waiting 45 minutes to an hour, and all of a sudden we heard a gobble, and it was far. I mean, it was like as far as you could hear. So Dean hit the call and he answered, and we're like, oh my God, like, you know, oh my, holy shit, what's going on? And so we waited a few minutes. He hit the call again, and like they answered, and they were noticeably closer, like noticeably.
Oh wow, they were moving, huh?
Yeah, we obviously had their attention. And I mean, at that time we didn't know, you know, we knew like they were coming, but we didn't know what to do at that point. So Dean was just, he looked at me, he's like, they're coming, I'm just gonna shut up, which was actually the right move. And sure enough, these turkeys come over this little knoll, and they're walking this like logging road that's probably only 15 yards in front of us, and they're walking, and they're just like looking for whatever was making the noise. So they come probably 25 yards in front of us. Dean's got the gun, I got the camera. We didn't have two guns. We had one gun at this point. And we're on the ground, no blind. Like, we're just straight up against the tree. That was it. So this turkey comes out, finally gets into an opening at, like, 15 yards, and Dean hammers this thing. And it starts flipping around on the ground, and the other one goes running back, like, yeah. And we're, like, going nuts. The other one goes running back, like, 10 yards, turns around, and comes running right back to the other one and, like, stomping on it. And what? We're like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, dude, give me the gun, give me the gun. He throws me the gun. I throw him the camera, and I get on him. He's like, wait, wait, wait. And he got the camera in focus. And like, right when he got the camera in focus, he's like, all right. And I freaking hammered this other one and dropped him right on his body. And we're like, holy shit. He runs out there and like, you know, grabs them both because they were flipping around like crazy. And we were just like, oh my God. Oh my, it was our first year ever turkey hunting.
That is one hell of a way to get hooked on something. Holy shit.
It was insane. So yeah, I mean, needless to say, since then we've been kind of hooked, but we've never come close to doing, well, I shouldn't say that, but I don't know. That was probably a one-time experience, and it was just insane. It was a crazy way to break into the old turkey hunting sport for sure.
So is your brother any good at calling, or like he was doing some of the calling?
Yeah, he's definitely better than I am. Like, he could do the mouth, the diaphragm calls. But we'll just kind of, I don't know. We just, if we're hunting together, one of us will call and then another one will call. We got, I don't know, 15 different calls that we have. We just keep pulling different ones out until we get a bird to answer, and then hopefully he comes in.
That's wild, man. So that's one of the things. The turkey hunting, the way you get the licenses here in Wisconsin, like there's a couple different ways the season breaks up, and it always feels a little confusing. But
yeah,
the more and more, and every single time I talk about turkey hunting, I'm like, oh my God, why am I not doing this? Because everyone's like, it's so much fun with the interactivity of calling the birds in and like having them call back, and their vision's so good. You got to be super still, and that's like a very, you know. But when that's not happening, it's like whatever, you know. It's not like you got to be all worried about your scent and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's definitely it's a completely different style of hunting, obviously, than deer hunting. Like you said, you don't have to worry about your scent. You don't have to worry about like your access as much in and out of the tree. It's, you know, it's not like you're worried about bumping the turkeys in the morning and stuff like that, unless you bump them out of the roost, which is kind of, but like
that'll give you a heart attack. I've done that in deer hunting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then you're pretty much done for the morning. But a lot of like what we've learned that's helped us out is to try and, like, normally the turkeys gobble a couple times in the roost when they fly up at night, usually. And so if you can locate one at night, it makes that next morning a whole lot more fun, because you know you're going in there and you're in the game, rather than just going in and kind of blind calling. And it's a little bit more work and stuff like that, but we try to do that as much as possible now, just because it makes it a lot more efficient. And then, you know, they fly down and normally you can get them talking a little bit. If, you know, maybe they get, you get one fired up and coming in, or sometimes they'll fly down and they'll just, you know, they'll shut up right away. So it's it's a finicky sport. So like 2 years ago, neither of us killed a bird, and both of us were like, turkey hunting sucks. You know, like, and then, I mean, like, we were just like
turkeys,
so,
man.
Such sore losers about it, and we were just like, this turkey hunting sucks. But I mean, it's just, it is a great, for a whitetail hunter at heart, it's a great bridge to kind of bridge the gap between seasons, you know,
like
the end of the summer and the late season for the hunting season.
How much time are you spending scouting turkeys? And or while you're turkey hunting, paying attention and being mindful of, and, you know, documenting deer sign and things like that?
You know, scouting turkeys is kind of on the fly. It's not like, I mean, we'll go check out certain tracts of land that we have permission to hunt, like right now, or go look at, you know, now that we're trying to get a little bit more into like the public land side of things, we have done a little bit more scouting for turkeys, like right now, as opposed to, because our season doesn't open for another 2 weeks, I think. But I mean, turkeys, like the scouting is kind of on a fly. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, literally, like I said, your scouting could be the night before, and then all of a sudden the next morning you're in the game. Or, you know, you're driving around in the morning and you see birds in a field and you go, you know, ask someone or figure out if it's public land or not, and then the next day you're in there. So it's a little bit different, more on the, I guess, yeah, that's the difference of that compared to whitetail hunting, where you're trying to do homework and, you know, you're studying the deer and pictures and stuff like that all summer and early fall to try and kind of figure out the chess match. Whereas turkeys, you know, you could figure one out the night before, go in there and kill them, and then you're done. You know what I mean?
Sure. And because you can call them and stuff like that, you can audibly locate them different than you would a deer. You're not going to go in there with a freaking deer call and pick out a deer, right, you know, that way.
Right.
We all know that.
Exactly.
Man, wouldn't that be great? So, like, if you could have that type of freaking response from a whitetail. I know that you can grunt and they might turn back, but it just is not that level of interactivity.
No. And you know what? I mean, I was out filming for a TV show a couple of years ago in Montana elk hunting, and I would compare elk hunting is like turkey hunting on steroids, because you got these massive animals that you are vocally interacting with. And it's absolutely incredible. Like it's literally incredible, because I don't know, there's something about hunting more of a big game animal for me that's just jacks me up a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, I do love turkey hunting for sure, but that
At the end of the day, it's a freaking, you know, happy Thanksgiving. I got a bird. By the way, do you eat what you kill when it comes to turkey hunting?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We usually breast them out. My dad always gets ticked if we don't skin the legs out and give them and stuff too. He gets so mad because he'll either throw it in soup or a pot of soup or I don't know. He likes that meat. So yeah, we can't forget the leg bones, and they're a pain in the ass to try and skin off and get out of the bird and stuff like that. But yeah, that's always his request. But yeah, we eat everything. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that we grew up hunting deer for the meat and hunting anything for the meat, rabbits.
Yep.
I mean, pheasant, grouse, whatever. It didn't matter. Like we were fortunate enough to grow up in a family that was just diehard hunters and fishermen. And so whether it was hunting or fishing, you know, it was a fun activity to do, but we were also providing food for the family. So at the end of the day, that's the bare bones of it still for us.
Good shit, man. Well, let me circle back to that in a minute, but I'm going to bring in our first caller. We got Trevor with the East Coast Bowhunters podcast. I think he's going to try to teach you how to do some turkey calls.
Let's do it.
Hey, Trevor, welcome to the Where to Hunt podcast. You're live. You better have a turkey call in your mouth.
Of course, of course. How are you, Eric?
Hey, man, doing great. Thanks for calling in. You guys are the best.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
How you doing?
Trevor, what's up, man? I hear I'm getting turkey hunting or turkey calling 101 here.
Yeah, D-Rock called me and told me I had to call in with a mouth call. So
give her a whirl, man. Let's hear it. No pressure.
Have you guys ever called with a diaphragm call before? Or
I think I did as a kid, but not really, not lately. I want to now.
Yeah,
really bad. I wish I had one laying around.
I've tried, but I am not successful at all.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, from what I've learned, just having one in my mouth constantly and all the time is just perfect one thing at a time and slowly go up. You rather sound really good at one thing than try and make noises that don't make sense in the woods.
That makes sense.
Just have it in your mouth constantly, and just, you know, driving in the car and playing with it. And it's all about just moving the tongue, and the way you exhale or inhale is what's going to make the noise.
Okay.
So here, we'll do simple cluck.
Nice. Yeah, see, I
sounded pretty good to me, man.
Yeah, I would.
And then you can do like then you can like cut with it. So you get that.
That's awesome.
Dude, you don't even need sound bumpers for the podcast. I could just get a freaking diaphragm call.
what I did was I went into the car so that I can get the full effect. So it's a surround thing, so you guys can hear it perfectly without being on the actual phone. So it's not next to my mouth.
Let me ask you something. Like,
yep.
What? That's like the cucks and the clucks and the purrs, and like, I don't know what any of that means. You know what I mean? Like, and that's hard for me to admit. But like,
hey,
I don't,
man,
I don't know
okay.
When to do one and the other. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah, when to do one, when to do the other one. I don't know.
So you're gonna do more clucks. Like your clucks are, you know, you're just your. And then you do your clucks, and then you add like you add a cut into it to add that enthusiasm to it. So that just adds your enthusiasm, because you don't want to sound like, if you're sitting in a class and the teacher's real monotone, you're not interested. It's pretty much
right,
the same thing when
right.
You're calling a turkey. You want to have that excitement with it. So you just mix your clucks are just your normal calls, and you can cluck constantly and then just throw a couple of cuts in there to get them real excited. And a lot of times it goes day by day what they want to hear. You know, some days they're only going to hear, you know, they're going to be kind of quiet and they're not going to make as much excitement noises. And then some days they really want it real raspy and they really want a lot of cuts in it. You know, and then
are you using that same thing to gobble too? Like that's not going to make it, you're not going to gobble with that, right? You need something different.
I mean, you can gobble, but there's gobble calls.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like you're not going to be able to die.
No, I mean, you can, but it's not as good, man. They have gobbler calls for that, you know. And one thing that I do say when it comes to turkey hunting, man, is you have to remember is the one thing that everybody, we're all in the woods for at the same exact time is we're there for that trophy bird, that gobbler. So when you start making gobbling noises, especially hunting public land, just know your surroundings and know where you are, because a lot of the times you have to remember that is that's what we're all after is that trophy bird. You start making gobbles and you can bring in some a lot of hunters that don't know what's going on, you know, like right. Newer hunters. So you got to be very careful
really
when you're using
that.
A gobble call. Yeah. And that's one thing a lot of people don't, man. And when I start talking turkey hunting with a lot of people, I try to tell them about that is that you can, it's scary when you start making gobble noises. These guys are making, these guys are bringing in these, they're doing, like big phantoms, you know, in the middle of fields, or they're doing that, that whole reaping thing. I mean, those are the things that we're after, is those big fan birds. I mean, that's a legal bird at that point. And it's just one thing I say when you brought up the goblin call, I just want to make it known that just be careful when you're using those things and know your surroundings.
Dude, I used to do this segment on the show a while back, a couple years ago, about hunter safety, things kind of gone wrong to bring some awareness to being, you know, mindful and safe. And I would poke some fun at it for the sake of getting some awareness around it. And there was a story that I shared. I should go back and find it, where there were two turkey hunters that called each other into them. Like they called each other, right? Thinking each one of them was a bird. Yeah, into themselves. It sounds pretty weird. Like I don't mean it that way, but they, one guy got shot, dude, and he was okay.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, army crawling across the field with some fans and doing some calls. And the other guy's like, holy shit, here comes a bird. And you can look at these injury reports on different state websites. So I would go to every state DNR and I'd look up the injury reports, and sure as shit, dude, one guy shot another guy, fully thought he was a fucking bird. Like, holy crap. Yeah, so be careful. Absolutely.
You know, turkey hunting's one of those things you got to be... Oops, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, it's just one of those things that goes untalked about a lot of the times, and turkey hunting is probably one of the most dangerous out of all game huntings that we do, I think, in my personal opinion, because the people, you know, you're in all camo, you're on the ground, you're at the level of your decoys, and it's just a scary, scary thing.
Hey, Trev, can you do the PVD gobble call?
Holy shit.
Yep. Yeah, you can I can't do it with the mouth calling, but
oh my god, man, you sound excited. That's gonna get a turkey in for sure. You better watch out by now.
You guys, I'm all pumped up. We started talking birds and turkeys. I get all excited. But yeah,
that was good.
Get them turkey calls and try them and play with them. You know, just move your tongue around, get comfortable with it in your mouth, man, and just move the tongue around and you'll start to. I think it's. Yeah, you suck in and you're moving your tongue. It's like a reed and you're making the soundboard with your tongue. You know what I'm saying? Like a duck call, and you would be blowing on the duck call. It's the same thing. It's an instrument, man. You just got to play with it and you got to mess around with it and get the different noises and just kind of understand it.
That's
not an easy task.
I need to throw one of them things in my truck so when I'm driving around and stuff, I can just be cackling on that thing all the time. That's what I need to do.
Your Instagram account can get real fun.
Yeah, did you see that the other day?
Just any type of game calling, man. It's just playing with the call, man. Driving around scouting, just having it in your mouth and making that noise. And really, you're going to learn, like going back to like the clucks and the purrs and this and that. it's just, you're going to know those scenarios as they come, man. You're going to mess up and it's going to happen. And you just call and to see what works, to react that, you know, to react, to get that reaction gobble when you're in the woods and stuff. You know, it's the different pitches and changing the tones. I mean, that's how you're going to get these birds to gobble. And that's what they're looking for, is the pitch and the tone change, you know? So
yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you for sure.
Dude, thanks so much for freaking calling in to gobble, man. This is, what other podcast can we get someone to call in to do some gobbles? I'm surprised you're the first one to do it. We should have a line out the door right now.
I know.
D-Rock called me and was like, somebody needs to go on Where to Hunt to go play around with a mouth call. He goes, you got a mouth call in the truck? I said, D-Rock, of course I got a mouth call in the truck.
You think this is amateur hour? It is for us too. That's great. When is your guys' season start, Trevor?
We're April 24th.
Okay. So Wisconsin's April 17th. So there's a youth hunt, though, on the 13th and 14th. But then we kick things off for Section A. It's called April 17th to the
23rd. Oh, nice.
What about you in Ohio?
That means I'm going
to... I'm pretty sure we're the... Is the 24th a Tuesday?
24th is a Wednesday. The Wednesday.
Oh, so maybe we're the 20th. I think we're the 23rd then. I don't know why we open up on a Tuesday this year. That's weird. But I think it is the 23rd then.
Oh, you got a okay. One-up us, huh?
Yeah, one day earlier.
That's great. Well, dude, it's going to be exciting here pretty soon to see everyone starting to get at it.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram should start blowing up with some. I mean, I've already been seeing a lot of turkey stuff with, like, down south and some of the southern states opening up a little bit earlier.
Let's stir the pot a little bit here, not for the sake of stirring the pot necessarily, but, you know, what do you guys think about, you know, blasting turkeys in the head? You guys seen those videos? The headshots on turkeys with arrows and shit like that?
Oh, with arrows? Yeah, I mean, hey, if you can do it, more power to you.
Right.
Let
it's interesting. So, it's like, there's like a whole cult following behind just that.
I know.
The whole decap thing is definitely something within its own. It's not an easy task, and it's something that I've been watching for a while. But the thing of getting those broadheads to tune right and fly right, I'm really excited to try it. We're going to try out the solid broadheads, the decaps, this season, and see if we can't get those things to fly right and try and kill a turkey and cut their head off. I had tried the guillotines in the past, and I just couldn't get them to fly right out of my bow. They're like kites. These new decap ones are going to be a little bit better. But if you notice, they try and get them real close to the blind. You know, like 7-8 yards, they're trying to cut these things' heads off.
Yeah,
jeez, that's wild.
I was with a buddy last year who was trying to do that, and he missed, and he hit this thing. I mean, in the side, and blew a hole in it, like big, the size of like a softball. Thing didn't go very far still, but it was pretty wild. I mean, it is kind of crazy that they've created a like broadhead specifically for taking a turkey's head off.
Lopping heads off turkeys, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey, Dave, do you know Tom Self?
Tom Self. I don't know. That name sounds familiar.
He says he tells you to give away a mount.
That's funny. Last year, we were doing a giveaway with some of our signature series broadheads, and I don't know how we got on it. Like, the live video went bonkers. And we said, like, once there was 100 people watching, we would give away one of the mounts on our wall. And sure as shit, like, we were at, like, 50 people. I thought there was no chance. Like, no chance it was getting to 100. And all of a sudden, all these, like, it's going up 60, 70 people, 75, 80, 85. All of a sudden, it was at, like, 96. I'm like, holy shit, no way. We're going to have to give away a mount. Sure enough, it was at, like, 114 in, like, a blink of an eye. And I'm like, oh, shit. So they're like, you got to give it away. So Dean and I, literally, we picked them out off the wall, and we gave it away. Thank God. Thank God we went
and did like a random drawing for from everybody who shared it on Facebook. And thank God it was somebody local. Otherwise, we were going to have to ship that thing God knows where. But they just came over and picked it up. They wanted me to sign the freaking autograph the rack. And then he went back to his house and sent me a picture of this thing in his living room up next to like his three other deer. I'm like, oh my God.
Hey, oh, Trev, I'm going to drop you off the call and we're going to bring in another caller, bud.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Eric. Enjoy your guys' season and shoot straight.
All right, buddy. You have a good one. Thanks for the call.
Take care, guys.
All right, here we got Tony Forrester. Hey, Tony, you're live on the Where to Hunt podcast. How you doing?
What's up? Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for calling in, man. You going to do a turkey call or you just calling the chat?
Oh, I'll do a turkey call with no turkey call at all. Just all mouth.
Come on.
Let's hear it. Shut up, dude. Is that for real?
That's for real, dude.
Holy crap.
That is awesome.
As soon as David hears it's me, he'll know who it is.
I know who it is.
Oh, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
I'm telling you, that was good, wasn't it?
That was real good. And I would not put it past you to not have a turkey call in your mouth right now.
How long you got to practice that? That's got to be like 15 years of practice.
No, just a lot of pissing a bunch of my buddies off and drinking beer around the campfire and just fucking around.
I don't even know. That's okay, man. I don't even know where to begin to do. I don't even know how to like form those sounds from my mouth.
I killed my bird in Tennessee last year just using my mouth.
You never forget your call.
No, you're not. I mean, you don't need one when you can just rock and roll like that.
Yeah, I need to learn how to do that. Screw those diaphragm calls. God, choke on one of them things. I just need to roll one off the tongue.
I'm telling you, bud. I'm telling you. It's all in the red beard. I'm telling you.
Bro, I got one of them, so we should be good.
When's your guys' season start?
So it's
April 23rd.
Oh, you go ahead, bud.
Yeah, April 23rd up in Ohio.
And ours is the 17th. In Wisconsin here.
Yeah, Missouri, it's April 15th. I almost went up to Iowa these past couple of days to hit up Iowa, but I didn't make it. I had to work. So.
Right.
But, yeah, I'll be doing, what's that?
I would say that's super, you pretty pumped about it? I mean, with a call like that, you got to be getting pretty jacked.
Oh, I'm pretty jacked. Sure. Don't get me wrong. I love my turkeys and all, but I'm a whitetail man, but. Them birds just they fluster me pretty good every. I get pretty ticked off with them. I get pumped up for like the first week, and then I'm like, all right, I had enough fun with you. Time for deer.
That's freaking cool. I'm just like, I'm still trying to figure out how you made that sound with your mouth.
I'm pretty sure David or Dean has heard me once or twice, either at ATA or.
NWGF,
I don't know.
Yeah, but there was beers flowing at that point, like, you know.
I mean, yeah, that's a high possibility for sure. Honestly, dude, it was just a lot of time just driving around, listening to myself in the truck, and then, you know, just practicing, like I said, around the campfire, just messing around.
When you're out there, you can just start calling, like, at will. Like, you don't got to worry about having, like, oh, I forgot my freaking diaphragm or my... You can just go. You're just good to go.
Yeah. A lot of it was me fishing around time. You know, I'd be fishing and I'd see a group up in the woods or something. I'd hit up small farm ponds and I can just started messing around and I'd get some to come in and then I got confident. You know what I mean? It wasn't at first. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go out there and just call with my mouth. It took me a while to get confident. But, I mean, it's a go-to. Sometimes you're You know, that diaphragm will choke you up, or your slate or whatever will get wet, and sometimes you just gotta pull it out and get them.
You got to get it done.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Try to tag that bird, and then you can brag about it.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Dude, thanks so much for calling into the freaking show.
Oh, no, thank you for talking. No, thank you, man. Had a good one.
Yeah, thanks, good to talk to you, brother.
We're going to have to meet up soon, Dave. We're going to have to move you up.
No doubt we will.
All right, well, shoot me a text whenever you guys get free or something, and we'll try to meet up or whatever. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for talking. Appreciate your guys' chat.
Yeah, man, thanks for calling, and we appreciate it.
All right, buddy. See you later.
See ya. That was Tony. You know Tony? Yeah, it did. I just got jingling it back real quick. That's okay. If it's not going to come back on, we don't got to worry about it.
I don't know what the deal is right now.
Yeah, that's cool. We don't got to focus on that. Don't worry about that, man. Okay. Why don't we... We got another caller coming in.
Let's do it.
Go ahead. No, we don't. I was saying if we do. go ahead.
No, Tony and I, we met at like NWTF down in Nashville a few years ago. And I don't know, it's been like a trade show thing. We always run into each other at like ATA or some different trade show and always end up, I mean, he's a wild dude. He will go out, have a good time, drinks start flowing. Then on the, you know, we go, he always gets the dance floor riled up and all of a sudden there's a party going on. So he's hilarious, man. It's freaking hilarious.
Fun as hell. I can't believe he did that, dude. That was nuts.
I know. That was nuts.
Like you had mentioned, it's hard enough to do with the diaphragm call. Trev calls in, does diaphragm call, sounds great. And then he calls in, no diaphragm call, sounds the same. Like,
sounds like a turkey. Then he gobbles. I mean, come on. Unreal.
It's nuts. So we got about 10 minutes. I want to hear your most memorable hunt. Turkey, whitetail, doesn't matter, elk. Let me hear your most memorable hunt and why. And maybe it'll be clear in the why, but that's one question I ask everybody too, man.
Honestly, yeah, you know, man, it's so hard. I've just had a handful of really cool hunts over the past couple of years. And honestly, from the one this year with the Godfather, we touched on it a little bit earlier. It was cool because Dean and I had just spent like 10 days up in New York, and we kind of got drugged through the ringer in the middle of the rut, weren't seeing anything. We're kind of not necessarily burnt out, but we were just down and out basically, just because we felt like we had lost the beat a little bit and the rut had passed and it was kind of over. And we ended up going back up. And we ended up coming home for like a day and a half and going back up there the week of Thanksgiving. We went up to hunt Monday night, and then we were going to hunt Tuesday and come back home on Wednesday. Or I'm sorry, we were going to hunt Tuesday, and we were going to plan on packing up and coming home Tuesday night. But Dean shot our number one hit lister on Tuesday afternoon at like 3 in the afternoon. And we were just – it was a cat and mouse game. We kept getting tripped for pictures of the deer on 6 or 7 different cameras. And so we knew it was just a matter of time. We were going to run into them. We just had to keep putting time in, essentially. And sure enough, Dean was sitting on a 1 bean plot, and 6 doe came out. And then another one came out of this small thicket. And she kept, like, she was nervous. We were in 2 different blinds. We were self-filming at this point, just trying to double up our odds. And so she kept looking back into the thicket, and it was just, you know, you can see in the footage, it was just, she was acting weird. And all of a sudden, this buck that we called Spentex steps out, and I mean, he came out to chew on a couple beans, but he was, in my opinion, he was in the middle of breeding her, and she came out to eat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so he came out, and I mean, he probably would have had all the time in the world to just watch him and see what they did, but he ended up shooting them, dropping them in the plot,
And Dean and I, I got out of the blind. I mean, the successful hunts for us come a lot more few and far between than like the guys on TV. They just do. So, I mean, we're going to enjoy it. I got out. I'm like, you know what? Our number one hit list is done. Let's just go enjoy this. We literally walked out to this deer, and this doe ended up running through the field three different times with three different bucks chasing her. I mean, she was like on fire hot. Like she was in the middle of breeding. And then we drug them all the way back up to the blind, and she was in the back of the field feeding. And we're in black hoodies because we were just both sitting in elevated box blinds. And so we're in black hoodies in the middle of a snow-covered Western New York rolling hills. So like,
it's picturesque.
What? Yeah, it was
what?
It was beautiful.
What made you go back for The Godfather? What made you go back to New York?
So my sister works with my dad in our family business. My dad owns six different body shops around kind of the Northeast, and one of them is up in New York. So she had to go back up there to work for a couple days, and she didn't want to go stay up at our house by herself. So she asked me, because Dean came back home. Dean had a girlfriend, and figured, you know, that they wanted to see each other for a couple of days. We had just literally been gone for 2 weeks. So my sister Erin had to go back up there, and she's like, David, you know, what do you have going on? Would you mind coming up and just staying with me for a couple of days? And I'm like, yeah, I can bring the computer. I got editing to do, whatever. I'll go back up with you. Well, literally 15 minutes before we're about to leave, Dean's like, yo, I'm going to go with you. And I was like, what? And he's like, no, I'm going to go. And so he literally made a last minute decision to come up there. And then he shot this deer. And after all of like the picture taking and stuff like that, getting footage, enjoying it, whatever, we're just like, you know what? What are we going to rush home for? I mean, we're a day away from Thanksgiving. I'm like, this never happens. Let's just soak it in and enjoy it. You know what I mean? Let's just soak it in. And so we stayed up at our hunt camp that we call Camp Cutlet up in New York for the night. You know, my dad was up there. So it was cool for the three of us to just kind of bond over the moment, I guess. And then the next morning we woke up and basically we were like, you know, we're just going to go back to the same blind that Dean killed his in. With that doe, as hot as she was, we figured if she's cruising around there,
oh, sure,
another,
yeah,
mature buck in the area, who knows, you know what I mean? And we woke up late because, I mean, we had a few celebratories the night before. So we woke up a little late. It's getting light. And Dean was on the shitter. And I hear him, like, I'm getting ready in our basement, and I hear him like, no, check your phone. And we literally live in like a hole up there. We get no cell service, but the one cell camera that we had going up there, we got a picture of this buck that we nicknamed the Godfather. And we nicknamed him the Godfather for a reason, because he's like 8 or 9 years old. He's a friggin' ghost. Nobody's ever seen him before. And we got a picture of him. So we knew where he was at. And literally made a change of plans, scrambled. I knew basically he was going to go one of two ways. And if he went the one way, we were going to cut him off. And if he went the other way, at least we knew that he was going to be bedded in the bottom, and maybe he would come back out to one of the food plots in the evening. So it was kind of like a hit or miss. We knew if we didn't see him, then we had a chance that afternoon. But there was a chance that we could cut him off going back to bed in the other direction. And I mean, we stalked like 300 yards down this field line. I don't know how Dean spotted this thing like 300 plus yards away, just caught a flash of him, threw the binoculars up, saw it was him, watched him bed down, got into a position where we were probably like 240 or 250 yards away, and just sat there and waited. And we probably waited a half hour. The wind like swirled, and the wind was perfect in our favor. I think it just kind of swirled and scared him a little bit. He got up, and I was able to crack a shot off at him, and I mean, the rest is history. It was, I don't know, when it's meant to be, it'll be. but I still can't believe the timing of everything, how perfect everything had to happen in order for it to go down like that. I still pinch myself. I'm extremely grateful. That's for sure.
Don't give that mount away.
No. We won't be giving that one away. There's a few neighbors up in New York that aren't real happy with me right now, but it is what it is. It's better to be lucky than good sometimes.
A little bit of both there, man. Like that's pretty cool. You had to have some things in play there to make that come together the way you did. That's super cool. And your sister, Erin, was one that posted in the comments, what made you go back? That's why I asked. I'm not that good of a host. Yeah, so cool. You're like, that's what funny. The fuck? Did you know that?
What the hell's going on here? How do you know this?
That's so funny. Well, cool, man. That's great. That is a memorable hunt, one that you're never going to forget. You should post a picture of that guy, the Godfather, to the comments when we're done here, just so people can see it. I think that's super cool. And then we'll wrap up with, the shameless plugs of where people can find you and all that good stuff. I know you guys got, an apparel website and stuff like that. So, you know, how do people support what you're doing and how do they get on board with Tag and Brag?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Instagram and YouTube, it's Team Tag and Brag. @TeamTagandBrag is our Instagram handle. Go subscribe to us on YouTube. We would love the support. We got some new content that's going to be coming out here in the next week or so, and then we're going to be flying into our turkey hunting vlog. So super excited about that because we'll have a lot of content strung out over a short period of time. So it'll be cool to kind of watch as that journey goes. Stuff. And then on Facebook, I'll leave it in the comments, but it's just @TagandBrag. So Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram are where we kind of resonate the most. And then we do have some apparel that's available. It's just tnbapparel.com. You can go on there. We got some hats, we got some hoodies, and we are going to be getting in a new spring and summer shipment here shortly. We got some badass snapback hats on order, so some new different colors and stuff like that. So obviously love and appreciate all of the support, and Eric, I really appreciate you having us on tonight.
Hell yeah, man. I'm happy that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. I'm always humbled and grateful to have any guest. I'm always shocked that people want to just talk to me on the show, so I'm glad we got a couple callers to call in. I think it was a great episode. Thanks everybody for watching and tuning in. We're going to end the live video, and this will be published tonight on, I call it podcast land. I can't talk tonight. It'll be posted tonight. So if you didn't catch the live feed and you want to catch it later, it'll be on iTunes and anywhere else you get a podcast from. I'll share that stuff with you. So you got it too, man.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. And we'll share it on our social media as well.
Rock on.
Okay, the tip of the week. Tip of the week this week. I'm actually looking for a tip or a whole bunch of tips from you, the listeners. So if you can write in a tip either through our Facebook page or Instagram DM, direct message, you can go to the website too. It's wheretohuntapp.com, and you can send an email, whatever works for you. You could also send if you got a recording app on your phone, send in an audio recording. We'll play that back on the next show next Tuesday. But looking for a recommendation on what y'all recommend for turkey calling, whether it's diaphragm, a gobbler call, or a box call, or a combination thereof, or a slate call, looking to see what everybody uses and or why, and if there's any particular brands that you're really attached to, love to hear about that also. Just generally curious, and figured, you know, I don't give the best tips when I get to this segment of the show because I'm the, you know, Wisconsin's okayest hunter. But I thought maybe I'd tap into everybody that pays attention to the show and that makes it this far. And if you guys can send and gals could send some tips in, I'll be happy to share those through our social media channels and also on next week's show, which will be next Tuesday. We'll be going live every single Tuesday with or without a guest on our Facebook page at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you want to participate in the show and be one of the callers, that's the time and place to do it. If there's a different day and time that works for you, I'd be willing to hear when that is, and I can try to accommodate that as best as possible. In any event, thanks for tuning into today's show. As always, your ratings and reviews mean a ton to me. I've been seeing some of those come through, so thank you so much. And thanks again to all the guests and all the listeners that participate. Couldn't do the show without everybody. So thanks so much. Have a great day and hunt in public.